Blog Talk Radio.
All right. There we go, race fans. How about our introduction music? I'm telling you, we're on it tonight. Welcome to Race Chat Live. This is Chris. We'll have Craig on here in just a minute, our co-host. Of course, our director in studio, Mr. CJ Sports. We want to thank the 110 Nation Sports for continuing to let us do this show every Thursday night. Of course, coming off a weekend, the last weekend with Sonoma, we've got a lot to talk about there. Chicagoland this weekend, and of course, some local racing and all that we'll be able to talk about as well this evening. Without further ado, Craig Moore, how you doing?
You know what? I am awesome. You know why?
You're awful?
Awesome.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, awful waffle over there. All right.
Yeah,
good thing
I'm awesome.
To have you here tonight.
We have not had rain in 2 days.
No rain in 2 days.
My driveway's, my mud's getting awful dry.
Yeah, it's dehydrating.
Yeah, I need to drink.
After a pretty wet spring and a definitely wet winter, we've dried out down here over the last couple of weeks, but the rain returned yesterday, and so we've had a little bit of rain. Nope, it returned. Yeah, I think it was yesterday. So we're getting a little bit of that as well. In the south, we call it heat showers, Craig Moore. I don't know what they may call them cold showers up there. I'm not sure.
No, we call
it
bullshit.
I hear, though, that it actually get warm up there for the first time this year. Y'all's weekend is looking pretty nice. Let me ask you something, Craig. Are you going to Coney Island in 2 weeks?
I don't know. Yes, good memory. Good memory. Last year we went down to Coney Island. I don't know if we're going this year. We both have to go to prison work the next day, so we're not 100% sure if we're going or not. I want to, because even though my uncle helps run the Coney Island hot dog eating contest for Nathan, we get to see him about 5 minutes, but he's one of my heroes, so I try to see him even if it's for just 5 minutes.
Now, my guy's favorite name? I mean, what's my favorite guy's name, the one that wins every year?
Oh, I was going to say Joey Chitwood, but it's not Joey Chitwood. Yes, it is, I believe. It is Joey Chitwood.
Yeah, Joey. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's always good. And I believe the Japanese fella, I think after a few years of getting beat, I wonder if he's going to bring an extra layer of belly there for him for the hot dog contest. I love it. I think it's awesome. I think it's one of the best televised competitions on TV. I try not to miss it any year, and it's always pretty exciting. So I was wondering last year,
Miss Dana made a television appearance for about 5 seconds. She was on. We seen her for about 5 seconds as they were going to break because I had recorded it, and so that was pretty cool. But no, we're thinking about it. It's a pretty expensive trip to go down there, because you guys don't have throughways down there. Up here in New York State, you want to travel the thruway, they charge you a pretty penny. Go over the one bridge, it's like $15.
Yeah, when you say freeway, it's definitely not free up that way. It's
no,
a freeway down
no.
here. There, it's more like a pay to drive.
It's kind of like being in the truck cup and Xfinity series. You got to pay to play.
Well, I tell you, and it's interesting that we're already talking about pay to play, and that's going to be a subject here tonight. But also, did you guys catch the article by Motor? I believe it was Motor Trend Week or something to that effect, and it was picked up by Yahoo Sports. The fact that Chevrolet may be pulling the hook on the Camaro once again after the Generation 6 goes out in 2023. Has anybody here, you know, read that article, or y'all know anything about that yet?
Yeah, I heard they're bringing in the Chevy Traverse.
Into NASCAR. That's so funny that you say that, the SUV coming to NASCAR. And I believe, you know, a lot of people would argue us and say there's no way that that's going to happen. I may feel the same way, Craig Moore. I also feel like maybe, you know, that they don't go to their luxury car. Of course, the Cadillac CTV is one of the hottest-selling sports cars out, luxury sports cars out on the market right now. And Cadillac's got a lot of big things going on. And it would be interesting to see if they left the typical Chevy brand and we didn't see the Cadillac, maybe CTV or something to that, actually out on the racetrack. It wasn't, but, you know, in the 90s when Ford had played with the idea of bringing the Lincoln Mark 8 to the Cup Series. Of course, that never actually happened. But I believe Darrell Walter actually tested a Mark 3 version of the Lincoln stock car. So, you know, I guess we have to start out. Sonoma was pretty, I would say, bland race. I don't want to say boring. A lot of people really
I'd say it was a snooze fest, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I mean, you know, unfortunately, I had to watch a recorded version of it. DVR'd it. We had a birthday party for Cameron, better known as Bonky. So I did have to watch it on replay, and I'll be honest with you, Craig, I would have probably been just better off hitting the fast-forward button throughout the whole race. Truex, you know, he was the dominant guy. It seems to be if you're not in Penske or you're not at Joe Gibbs, you don't have a chance in hell to win.
No chance
in hell. Yeah, right? Are we going to see an improvement there, Craig Moore, or Mr. CJ Sports, whoever wants to go first? Mr. CJ, are you here? Yeah, he's somewhere back there. All right, we'll give him an introduction here. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, all right, hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm here. I'm with you.
All right.
I caught a little bit of it. I was slapping out pies. You know, on the weekends I worked for a company called Brooklyn Pizzeria, a New York pizza company, and so I did get to catch some of the race. I put it on the TV while I was up there slapping out pies. So I did catch a little bit of it this weekend.
Oh my goodness gracious! You know, Mr. CJ Sports has so many jobs: security guard, works at the gas station as a manager. Now he's doing pizza. I mean, in all that spare time, he's still able to come on and be our direct, our producer, and has his own shows on the 110 Nation Network all week long. Is it concerning that we are halfway through the season, guys, and we've only had three winners, three teams that have won this year? I'll let you start out, Mr. CJ Sports.
I don't know. It seems like we have this conversation. We have our big three every year. Variety, yes, would be nice. I don't know if concerning would be the word. I think we kind of expect this now at this point. NASCAR and these teams do got to find a way to, I want to say, have a variety. I say that, but then again, if you're Joe Gibbs Racing, you don't want a variety. You want your guys to win every single race. So, I mean, to what extent do you really want variety if you're one of the teams that are winning? But from the fan and NASCAR's, you know, point of view, you know, obviously they got to figure something out before it becomes repetitive and you start losing the ratings. You know, we started off with the 500 and it was a sellout crowd, and the year started off on a very high note, and then here we are halfway through the season and three teams have won, and, you know, that's not what we was expecting, or at least hoping for anyway. But I can't fault NASCAR. I mean, they've tried different rule packages, done away with restrictor play. You know, they were constantly trying new things and trying to change things up. I can't fault NASCAR necessarily for all of this. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. I mean, they're trying.
Well, and you know, who we're leaving behind, as we send it over to Craig real quick, we're leaving behind Hendrick. We're leaving behind Stuart Haas Racing. We're leaving behind Richard Childress. These are really the only main teams that we feel like have a chance week in, week out. Chip Ganassi Racing, I should add to that as well, that really have a legitimate chance each weekend to win. But it also seems to be, as I turn this over to Craig, is that the more well-funded teams, the ones that are not in financial trouble, the ones that are not having a downsizing or a replacement of talent going on like Hendrick Motorsports, those teams may have had a certain advantage by creating these mechanical cars that these guys are not so worried about failing in tech. You look at the Ross Chastain incident, and then you have to say, okay, how does this affect the garage? I'm sure y'all have seen that story as well. But it definitely adds into who maybe can afford to cheat and develop the parts, and those teams that don't have development. See, and I think that's a big thing, because Joe Gibbs develops a lot of things for TRD, and since Penske has come over to Ford, they've taken care of that as well on the Ford side. Remember, Penske first come over to Ford, Roush Fenway Racing was already near about in the tank. So Stuart Haas, you know, they may not have the financial gain right now to go out and experiment with parts that will not get them murdered in the tech shed. But, Craig, what's your thoughts on this as well? I mean, it just seems that we're halfway through the season, you know, multiple wins from Penske and their boys, multiple wins from Joe Gibbs and their crew. But Stuart Haas, these other four teams that we talked about, they seem to be falling further and further behind. Please touch on that.
Yeah, NASCAR's got to do something. And CJ alluded to it before they start losing fans. It's getting to the point to where I don't enjoy sitting down to watch the race because it's the same four drivers week in and week out, whether Kyle Busch, Martin Truex, Joey Logano, and Brad Keselowski. It's getting to the point that, like I said, I don't enjoy watching it. And like you, this past Sunday, well, I was busy too, and I fast-forwarded through a lot of it. I was also watching.
But why can we not embrace the fact that we have two teammates in Truex and Kyle Busch, and we're not excited about that? I mean, where is the disconnect at? Because obviously, in Formula One, you know, Lewis Hamilton and Bottas, you cannot even put them on the same level. It's Lewis Hamilton all the way. But we're talking about NASCAR, Craig, CJ Sports, we're talking about NASCAR. We have a Martin Truex Jr. who's been the black sheep of the family, still feels like he's the black sheep of the family, putting forth four wins, matching Kyle Busch with four wins. Why isn't this exciting for race fans to see two teammates basically battling it out, 1-2?
Because they're tired of the same people winning over and over again. I am surprised the fans have not dwindled. And I wish Shannon was available because he would be able to give us really good stats on this. But when you see the same person winning.
Particular drivers too, Craig, not to cut you off, but it's also the figure. Nobody wants – I'm a Kyle Busch fan, but not everybody's a Kyle Busch fan. If there was maybe two of the drivers that were kind of run out, that might be a different conversation. Because this was Dale Jr. and somebody else or something. You know, this might be a different conversation, but this is Kyle Busch that most people hate, and Martin Truex, where I think a lot of fans have gotten past the whole sympathy thing and his life story. Nothing, you know, nothing against that or anything. I mean, it was remarkable, his wife recovering and everything else, but we've kind of gotten past that. And so it's not maybe two drivers, teammates that are grabbing, and we want to see battle out teammate-wise. Like, I think it's just the two wrong drivers when you look at it, that aspect of it.
It's funny, CJ Sports, you reminded me of the KD story in basketball. It's kind of like Martin Truex Jr. is the KD. You know, he was at one organization where he was the underdog. Now he's over at the winning organization, and there's a lot of resentment to Martin Truex Jr. for joining a winning organization, and it definitely didn't help his fanfare. But go ahead, Craig, please.
You can say that. I mean, you got to look inside of look inside of Joe Gibbs Racing real quick. You've got Denny Hamlin, who could possibly be on his way out, quite possibly. You got Kyle Busch, who's used to being the Michael Jordan of Joe Gibbs Racing, not as far as championships, but as far as wins. Now they get Martin Truex Jr. in there. They were once rivals, even though they were Furniture Row was a satellite team, if you will. Well, now they're teammates. You have to think about this. Kyle Busch is secretly, and I'm sure it's no secret, that he is not happy that Martin Truex is getting the best, getting the same top-notch equipment that he is now getting.
I disagree.
You can disagree all you want. That's what makes this show great. That's what makes America great. We're fixing to make this shit great again in 2020, but that's for another show at another time.
All right. But, I mean, I do. I disagree. I think that it actually makes Kyle Busch better. I think that he revels the fact that he has competition and he wants to beat Truex in the same equipment that he's in so that he knows that he's better than Martin Truex. I think you have to look into the deep persona of who Kyle Busch is, and you understand that the things that make him uncomfortable are the things that make him great. But now, you know, you're talking to somebody who doesn't like Kyle Busch, but, you know, Mr. CJ Sports, he has a lot better opinion of Kyle Busch. But I really don't think that we're all too far from the fact that Kyle Busch is probably the most hated NASCAR driver on the circuit and probably the most popular driver as well, even though Chase Elliott is the most loved driver in NASCAR. I don't think he's the most popular. I think he is the most beloved driver in NASCAR. But so if you named your top four villains in NASCAR, I think you would start out with Kyle Busch. I think you would have Martin Truex Jr. at maybe at three. I think you would have Brad Keselowski at number two and possibly Joey Logano at number four. It seems like nobody likes a winner. I got a laugh from Mr. CJ Sports. He's like, damn,
no,
Chris,
I agree with you.
Game tonight.
I do agree with you. Nobody likes, going back to the 80s and 90s, 80s, you've seen Dale Earnhardt dominate. 90s, you've seen Pretty Boy Rainbow Warrior. That was probably another one of Mr. CJ Sports' favorite drivers.
Late 90s. In the early 90s, it was actually Davey Allison that had a lot of people's heads.
But nobody really liked, and in the early 2000s, it was Jimmy Johnson. Nobody likes to see a winner all the time. Nobody wants to see the same people win. I'm not a baseball fan. I don't understand baseball. But nobody wants to see the Yankees win all the time. Nobody wants to see the Red Sox win all the time. I'm not a football fan. But nobody wants to see the Carolina Panthers win all the time, which, oh, wait, they don't. That much I know. But nobody wants to see the Giants win. They don't want to see anybody win consecutive. They want new people. They don't want to see same people dominate. And that's what we're seeing. If we're not seeing the same team, if we're not seeing the same drivers necessarily, but we are seeing the same team. And here's a good case in point. This past weekend, And I believe, Chris, you shared the story. Levine Family Racing. No, actually, it was the Racing Insiders. I think I seen it on, but you had shared it as well. Levine Family Racing is not sure what's going to happen in 2020, even though Matt DiBenedetto, oh, I got it right this week, I think, had his best career. Yes, had his best career finish at Sonoma.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, all that millions of dollars he's paying Joe Gibbs finally paid off, but in the end he realizes that it's sad that only at these tracks where it's going to be beneficial to Joe Gibbs is he going to be competitive. It's basically, you pay Joe Gibbs for what you get, but there's not enough money in the world to buy what he has. And that's where I think that that Furniture Row got, you know, without lack of a better term, shitted on. And now Bob Levine is finding out himself that this is a no-win situation based off of what you have to give Joe Gibbs to finish in the top 15. And it takes a talented driver that you have to pay well as well. So DiBenedetto is probably about as talented of a driver that's not in a competitive ride each week. And you're seeing the results of what happens with a car that doesn't have the same undercarriage, the same motor, the same setups as what Joe Gibbs is running. You know, you have to ask yourself, is there that many parts in difference between that rod and what the 95 is producing? And where, you know, how much extra money is being spent in those areas that other teams can't afford? And that's where the separation in the series and the separation of the drivers, you know, they become more dominant because they have more money into these, you know, mechanical parts, racing performance parts.
Right. And just
one thing I did notice was that there wasn't anybody blowing up at Sonoma. There was nobody that got wrecked out. I mean, you know, it used to be at least you'd have two or three cars. They would lose their brakes or the drive shafts would come out of them. But, guys, I mean, you know, 70-something laps at Sonoma, and everybody, you know, 30 cars finished on the lead lap. I mean, tell me in road course history where that's ever happened. Obviously, the industry is making good quality parts, but it's costing more than just that part itself. It's costing the racing. It's costing the material that we're watching, the entertainment factor in it. You know, an uncautioned race at a road course can only remind me of one type of racing, and that's Formula One. And guys, there's got to be a difference in this kind of racing. Formula One has got to have a different product than NASCAR, or else it's just the same thing. Okay, and I, you know, I'm not too keen on all this hoopla about we need more road course racing. I think
those
of us should probably start breaking on that one right now after what we've seen at Sonoma.
Well, here, you know, we had the two road courses. Then they add the Roval in because they thought it would be super exciting. And it was for the first year. Well, now we're watching somebody's blowing me kisses, and I'm not sure who it is. I'm watching the results. I'm watching Race Hub earlier this week, and even Joey Logano and Brent Keselowski said it was not one of their favorite races. They don't like really going there. But there they were. And because why? Because they race. But Watkins Glen and Sonoma are road course. But Watkins Glen always proves to be more exciting than Sonoma. The Roval last year, because it was the first, was the most exciting of the year. That was when, if you remember, Jimmy Johnson got knocked out of the playoffs. Well, he pretty much took himself out, but that's neither here nor there.
But Craig, we're talking about Mid-Ohio. We're talking about Road America. We're talking about Montreal back when they raced there. Watkins Glen. It seems to be that really the defunct track that doesn't give us great quality racing is Sonoma. because all these other tracks that I've named, Craig, they've given us a great product. You know, we talked about it last week, Cole Custer and what's his name, John Hunter Nemechek, you know, the whole fighting at the flag stand, and, you know, if we can remember back Danica and at Montreal, which, you know, she led a lot of that race up there before she ran over somebody's shoe. I still wonder who, if it was maybe her ex-boyfriend that threw the shoe out on the racetrack there to kind of ruin her day. But other than that, you know, the Robbie Gordon situation with Kevin Harvick at Montreal, we've seen the Marcus Ambrose and Brad Keselowski, I think it was, at Watkins Glen. You know, there's a lot of memorable racing that's kind of course, the first race at the Roval. I mean, who will ever forget the wreck at the end there? So, you know, each of these races have had something that creates it and makes it great. Sonoma is kind of every year it's the same race. So I'm not sure if it's actually the road course racing that sucks. I'm just kind of wondering if maybe this track is a little outdated and maybe needs something different done there. Definitely opening up the carousel was not the answer.
Well, that was going to be my next question to you. Okay, so now we're sitting here bitching about the track, but what does the track need to do to breathe life into itself?
Well, I think I might have spilt the beans on this one already. As long as performance parts are as good as what they are, and nobody's having mechanical issues and whatnot, there's plenty of runoff space in Sonoma. It's a track that's designed for Trans Ams and IndyCars, and it's, you know, the type of terrain that Sonoma's built on is a lot more acceptable. It's, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, humps and hills and all. I think what's very unique about all the road courses on the eastern side is the fact that, you know, you have forests, you have Watkins Glen was actually a track that was made on a road. It was actually a Grand Prix track in the beginning. And anybody that knows a Grand Prix, that means that it was using actual roads. So that's how Watkins Glen was established. But Road America and Mid-Ohio, those are all, you know, high elevated, a lot of obstacles. Also, I think that one of the things that's in common there is with Watkins Glen, you have steel barriers on both sides. So if a car winds up in that steel barrier, what happens? We get a situation where the track gets closed off. So that adds for more excitement. But, you know, I think everybody noticed that Martin Truex didn't just win the race. He won the race by, like, what, 8 seconds or something like that. It was really it was kind of a snooze fest, as you said, Craig.
Yeah, it was like watching paint dry, but they're going to have to do something. Let me take you off. They're going to have to do something. And maybe, like you say, maybe add steel barriers. Something that will lend excitement. If there is no caution in a race, how many races have there been at Talladega where there's not been a caution?
Well, two. We went almost caution-free 1 year until Tony Stewart decided to wreck the whole damn field. But, you know,
well, that's
I think the
Stewart.
Only other time Bobby Hamilton won it in 2000, Craig.
And how much fun was that to watch?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt, especially.
You know, if there's – why do we as race fans – not us particularly, because we talk about racing, but why do we as race fans in general watch a race? We don't want them to go left, speed up, go left, slow down, turn. We watch for the accidents. We watch for the wrecks. That's where we get excited. If there's none of that, we're going to take a nap, because we can wake up in 20 minutes. Well, my naps are usually 3.5 hours. We can wake up and we're going to see the same thing. If there's no cautions, it's boring. It will put us to sleep. It'll drive us crazy. So that track, the track owners, the track promoters, they have got to do something to make us want to watch Sonoma. There was a couple of spins, and I seen it when I watched it back, and I thought for sure there was going to be cautions. The 34, who the hell drives that car? It was a love star,
Michael McDowell.
Yeah, he spun that sucker around. He threw that sucker in his first gear, and off he was. There was no time for a caution. Now, kudos to that boy. He did well. But I thought for sure there was going to be a caution.
Right.
I thought for sure, and I'm like, oh, there's our caution. Nope. It happened again. Somebody else looped it around. They were able to get it back going, avoid anything. They've got to do something. So now, let's move on from Watkins Glen. They're going to Chicagoland this weekend, actually. The Truck Series is tomorrow
Sonoma.
Night.
Yeah, move on from Sonoma. Now we're going to Chicagoland. As a matter of fact, there's an ARCA race about to take the green flag. No. Never mind. It's a weather delay. I guess this is last year's. Last year's ARCA race. Okay.
There you go.
So it's the ARCA race is in weather delay, and we're doing our show. So it worked out for us, didn't it, buddy?
Yeah, buddy. So let me ask you something. We get we go to Chicagoland. Oh, kudos to Ross Chastain.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I told you last week he was gonna come out and he was gonna put a whooping. He was gonna show them. Okay, well you could take that win away. That's okay. Because I'm gonna come out and I'm gonna win again. Now. Is he kicking himself still? Yeah. Is he kicking himself for listening to his team owner? Probably, because he didn't burn it down. But he also knew what he had to do.
Oh, he burned it down this time, Craig Moore. He burned that baby down. He tore the whole ass in out of that thing. They learned their lesson. They weren't there going to go to Tech again without burning it down.
Absolutely.
That's how I know that's how they failed was the moment that he won, he started burning it down. I was like, yep, thank you for listening to me, Ross Chastain.
So, but, you know, there's a couple of people on the bubble. We only got six races in the Truck Series until the playoffs. And if
season wherefore out there have you gone? Holy smokes.
Yeah. I mean, we're going into July. Next Saturday is the Coke 400 or whatever the hell we call it. Now it used to be the Firecracker 400, then it was the Pepsi 400, and it was the Coke Zero 400, and I think it's still the Coke Zero 400. But why you'd go from Pepsi to Coke is beyond me. But I don't write the sponsorship deals for NASCAR. But we're now Fox is all done. That's sad. Did you see the tribute that Fox did and had Stevie write the letter to Daryl?
No, I actually missed that, Craig Moore.
Well, I watched it, and I will honestly say that I had tears in my eyes. The first time her parents met him was he had flipped his car going into her driveway to pick him up. He was picking her up and he got pulled over by the cops. He said they were giving me a police escort. She said, Daryl, if they were giving you a police escort, they would be in front of you. And he said they were going too slow. I watched that like 4-minute expose and I cried. I mean, there is a love that is enduring, and they don't know what he's gonna do. I know you and I spoke earlier today, and I said I think his replacement ought to be his brother, and you said no, you believe that they have Alan Bestwick picked out. I can't even talk tonight. Picked out as DW's replacement, and. That's sad because I think that Mikey would do a great job up in the booth.
Well,
that's my opinion.
The network actually responded, Craig. they said that that they were not replacing DW, that they were actually just going to go with Mike Joy and Jeff Gordon. But Alan Bestwick, it has been rumored that he is taking over a pit reporter job there at Fox Sports. So we'll see kind of how that works out. And Alan Bestwick, one of the best in the business, if you go out and, if you're going to get somebody that's qualified for the position, I think that Alan Bestwick is qualified for that job over just about anybody. But there again, Mikey Watcher has done a great job as well. And so I wouldn't be mad at either one.
Now, this is still on topic of announcers, and I'd like CJ if he's there to chime in. But, who is the guy that does race up? I could see his face.
Adam Alexander?
Yeah, he gets on my nerves. And I guess that means he's doing his job. But when I listen to him do commentating, I'm like, dude, just stick to race up Monday through Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. I guess I better go inside.
Are you talking about Richard Allen? Because I think he's the one that does the truck races.
Well, he's
or is
an
Adam audience. Alexander? I don't know.
Adam Alexander is the one that does the truck races. I just can't. But listening to Mikey call with truck races is good. I enjoy it. I don't know. I just think that Mikey in the booth with Jeff and would be phenomenal. And, whoever thought that DW would last 19 years in the booth? I know I didn't. And it'll be sad to see him go, but, the old dog's got to retire sometime.
Honestly, I don't know why DW retired. He doesn't probably know why he retired, but I think that Jeff Gordon got on his nerves. And Jeff Gordon probably took the fun out of it. I don't ever think him and Gordon got along. I think that they hit on that in the closing remarks, that they admitted that they didn't get along, and it was tough in the beginning, but they made friends of each other. But that's professional friends, Craig Moore. I don't think Jeff Gordon's coming over to the Christmas party at DW's house. And so I think that had a lot of reasoning behind DW, that maybe he kind of felt like he was being pushed out anyway by Jeff Gordon. Gordon has that effect on people because, honestly, from day one, Gordon's always acted as if he has been better than everybody else. And I think that's helped him become the popular module that he's become. But at the same time, that's two personalities that never really were a good fit for each other.
All right, so let me ask you this, as soon as my laptop decides it wants to participate a little bit. Last year's race at Chicagoland saw, I want to call it, an intentional. It was almost like a Johnny Sauter and Austin Hill bump that we seen 2 weeks ago for the finish last year at Chicagoland with Kyle Larson and Kyle Busch. What do you think, what excitement do you think we're going to see this week at Chicagoland?
That's kind of hard to say, Craig. I hope that we see a good race. I think this is one of the restricted horsepower races. We're going to possibly see some pack racing. I don't think that the reduction of horsepower has worked as well, and NASCAR hasn't done a very good job at admitting that. I think that the drivers are not they're not very friendly with this package. They don't like it. Of course, we've heard Kyle Busch say that he doesn't want to talk about the package. We've heard Kevin Harvick say that he's paid to just drive. It's basically the Marshawn Lynch, I'm only here so I don't get fined comment. And that's not something we expect from either of these drivers, who are both outspoken. As for the actual race, you know, I'm a race fan, Craig Moore. I think you are too, and I think Mr. CJ Sports is as well. I want the best race that we can have, and I want guys battling for the lead. I think lead changes is going to be something that we really watch and see how that works out for the Chicagoland race. You know, you get a lot of lead changes. It's an exciting race. You get a couple of cautions in at the right time. You get your last 20-lap shootout or something like that, and, you know, it changes the whole perception of the race. And I think that's something that, you know, we want to hope for Chicagoland. The package has worked well enough to keep the cars closer together. But you know, once again, we're asking the professional stock car drivers of the world to go use 550 horsepower, which is less horsepower than what a dirt track driver drives in a super late model. You know, I mean, you're talking about 850 horses on a quarter mile track. And these guys are, you know, wide open with their foot on the floor, going around these big tracks at 550 horsepower. So, I mean, you know, the drivers have got to buy into it. The fans, of course, we can't really tell the difference from the TV. But if it's not exciting for the drivers, then I don't expect it to be exciting for the fans. But I'm not gonna say that that's the kind of race we're gonna have, Craig. I think that as the drivers start to adjust their attitudes and they adjust on the cars to make them a little bit faster, and they learn how to do more with less, that we will see some dramatic passing and some things that you wouldn't normally see if they had, you know, the full 850 horsepower up underneath them. Those cars are hard to drive when they're that fast, and I think that's what these drivers like the most, is a car that is hard to drive. But if you're talking about somebody that's outside the top 12 in the points, then I'm sure that they're very excited about this upcoming race because they feel like they have more of a competitive chance.
What phrase is officially 1 year old this weekend? It celebrates a birthday.
I don't know.
Slide job!
Yeah, the infamous slide job phrase. Wow. Yep. So now,
yeah,
he'll celebrate his 1 year in the booth anniversary. Kudos to Dale Jr. I think he did a great job last year. I think he's still got a long way to go in understanding the broadcasting. I love his podcast. I try to listen every week. But here we go with NBC. You know, Fox steps out of the way. Now NBC steps in, and we'll have different commentators. And go into the second half of the season. I love it when two networks are battling each other, just like I love it when two drivers are battling each other as well, because what it does, it makes one of the other more competitive. And this is going to be a situation where NBC is going to try to outdo Fox's coverage, and I think that NBC's got the better hand at it, man. I mean, when you're the second one to come out, your job is to outdo the first one that was out there. And I think that in this case, NBC's got the upper hand. They've got a great commentating cast, and really excited about what they're going to bring to the table second half.
Well,
of the
season. I think with that, you say that they're the second out. Whenever you're the second string, you learn. I don't really, not in this case, want to use the word second string. That's really not appropriate.
Yeah, it's like a dance competition, right, Craig, or a rap-off. You know, I mean, you got the first guy that comes out, and you kind of feel on what you need to do to match or make better, and NBC kind of has that advantage on Fox because we know what Fox put forth. You know, now what does NBC bring to the table?
Right, exactly. And then how can they amp it up, you know, and the one thing that I'm going to miss, and I'll be honest, is Larry McReynolds. I love that the analysis that he gives on cars. Now, NBC will go to the cutaway car.
I think Stevie Letarte does really good, though. You know, I mean, he does. And Larry's got, you know, 19 years on Larry Mack. You know, Larry Mack, he's been in the broadcast booth since DW. So I think that, you know, when it comes to broadcasting abilities, time is, gives you the best. But, man, let's go over the all-star cast that NBC brings to the table. They got Dale Jarrett.
Yes.
They've got Kyle Petty. They've got Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Stop. Are you calling Kyle Petty an all-star, for Christ's sake? He won 8 races in his career.
You know what?
But I digress. Go
only
ahead.
After Motor Mouth, man. I think he finally found his calling. I think that he is made to be a radio host. He has missed his calling. He should have, and I said this before, guys, he should have Dave Moody's show. He should be sitting where Dave, as a matter of fact, I would petition right now to fire Dave Moody and replace him with Kyle Petty. I mean, did you not see him sit down with Richard Childress and have a glass of wine? I mean, that was awesome, man. I mean, Richard Childress was great as well, but Kyle Petty, it's just something, you know, I don't know. I've never looked at him as the king's son, but, you know, that would call him Prince Kyle. But in this, you know, image that he's been able to create in the TV personality that he's been able to build, he seems like he is royalty now. Oh, you know, I always thought he was the son that never lived up to expectations. But I think he's found a true calling in the production side, and I love his little show, man, where he sits down with the drivers and or owners and people within the NASCAR industry and interviews them. And plus on Motor Mouse, when he really takes care of the dumbasses that call in sometimes and the stupid questions that they ask, I find Kyle Petty to be a lot more amusing in his response than I ever have Dave Moody.
Oh, yeah, Dave Moody just – Kyle Petty is rude, but it's funny. Dave Moody is rude and it's annoying. Like,
yeah,
I
it's kind of like it puts Kyle Petty, like I said, he's a prince, right? He's the king's son. He can talk down on you. As for you know, he's royalty. And there's nothing royalty about Dave Moody. He's the godfather that's self-proclaimed. I mean, you know, the godfather is the way that I guess he felt that he knew that he didn't come from royalty because – you know, a lot of people don't know Dave Moody started just like I did, man. He started at Bowman Gray Stadium, which is a great place to start as an announcer. You know, I think, as a matter of fact, in the beginning, he was either cleaning toilets or cooking hot dogs or something like that, but he found his way to the broadcasting booth, and that's where, you know, he's been able to take the storm. Sirius XM Radio made Dave Moody what he is today. If it wasn't for that network and the legion of fans that went out and bought XM Sirius XM Radios, to listen to his show, he would never be where he is. As for Kyle Petty, he can do any damn thing he wants to do because he's the king's son, right?
Absolutely. So let's talk about
it's kind of like Paul Feinbaum. I don't. You guys probably don't know Paul Feinbaum, but down here, us Southerners, we love us some Paul Feinbaum, and he's a lawyer. He's a lawyer turned a college sports broadcaster. I'm sure you've seen him on ESPN Game Day. You know, he's able to talk down to his callers, but people, they have a hard time arguing with him because the guy's a damn lawyer. He knows how to talk to idiots.
Well, that was like, and we're talking about radio people and personalities. That's like when I first started back in 1992. 91, listening to AM radio in depth, I was listening to I Found Rush Limbaugh. That man had the ability or has the ability to piss off a turd. And he would tell you something. He would tell you pretty much to shut up. You were an idiot. You were wrong. And people would still go on with their comment. And finally, he just dumped the phone call. But you know, same thing. Kyle Petty is like, the way he does it is funny. Moody, on the other hand, is just an ass when he does it. But anyway, let's get back to NASCAR. And the all-star lineup, minus Kyle Petty being an all-star in his lineup, except for his interviews. They got Jeff Burton, Steve Letarte, Dale Earnhardt Jr. is back with Rick Allen in the booth, Marty Snyder, Dave Burns, Kelly Stavis, and Parker Kligerman on pit road. These guys are just, I mean, I love to listen to Parker talk. I enjoy it. I'm excited to see what happens this year as far as the announced team. Can they one-up Fox? Because, again, like you said just a few minutes ago, they're coming in after the first shots were fired for the first 4 months. They know what Fox did. They know what they did wrong. They know what they did right. Now, how do they elevate their game that we forget what Fox did in 4 months? Because we've got them for 5. 4.25. I think it's going to be a hell of a race this weekend, and I'm looking forward to it. I'll be sitting on my couch or in my recliner watching the race for sure.
So is this the weekend that Stuart Friesen wins, man? Oh, my gosh. Are we ever going to get this monkey off our back?
Hold on a second, because he did win. It just wasn't in the truck series. The other night at Albany Saratoga Speedway, he won the Brett Hearn Big Show, and I believe Kenny Wallace was in town for that. He won that, got a nice big trophy. And hopefully this weekend on his truck, he has the Orange County Fair Speedway logo, their 100th anniversary, which Mr. C.J. Force is still working on for me to get down there at least for the 16th. I don't know. He's close. Honestly, he's close to the bubble. I did hear that early in the week. I believe it was yesterday on Race Hub that he's 11th or 12th on the bubble. So he's really gotta figure out the trucks and what he's gotta do to win. I don't know. Maybe he's gotta pull a Johnny Oh My God Sauter and start moving people the hell out of the way.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, this Ross Chastain deal is definitely going to shake things up because there's somebody outside the points that's going to be taking up a spot there on the earned points side. So I think just 3 winners right now in the truck series, Austin Hill, Johnny Sauter, deadgummit, Ross Chastain, and I believe one other driver, the only actual full-time truck drivers that have won this year.
Austin Hill.
Oh, yeah, Austin Hill, yeah. He's in. He's locked in. So, yeah, he's got to win. He's got to win, and it's got to be quick. I think this is one of the tracks that he's favored at. Of course, he likes the mile-and-a-half speedways. If he can keep from knocking down the wall or getting into a late race wreck or, a lot of things have plagued Stuart Friesen over the last couple of years that has kept him out of victory lane. He's definitely been the hottest guy in NASCAR that hasn't gotten a victory yet. I think out of all the momentum that each of these drivers bring forth every week, the biggest question every week seems to be, is this the week that Stuart Friesen picks up a win? As a matter of fact, you know, I've watched people who actually in the beginning disliked Stewie are now on the Stewie train and pulling for him each weekend. Let's talk real quick about the Natalie Decker backlash. Of course, if Mr. CJ Sports is listening in on this subject, I'm sure that he would like to key in, and especially in defense to Natalie. As we watched her, she was a great asset to 110, and, you know, she did a lot of interviews through the network before she got where she is now. But I guess the question is, are we being too hard on her? I mean, did we expect more? Definitely she did not have this many issues coming up to the truck series, but it has been a disastrous year for Natalie Decker, and she's taken a lot of heat for it. Craig Moore, any thoughts, or what do you think's going on right now with the Natalie Decker situation in the truck series?
Well, you know, everybody's got a learning curve, and it's really unfair. I think that we as the media are doing the same thing to her, excuse me, that we did to Danica. And I think we're expecting way too much out of her so soon. I think she needs to, what?
I mean, she's had the experience, Craig. What I just said, that she's excelled in every series that she's raced in until she got to the truck series. Danica never raced in the K&N series. Danica never put forth very many races in the ARCA series, if she ever even raced in the ARCA series. I think maybe once that she made a start in the ARCA series. But Natalie's had more seat time than Danica ever did in a race car, and it just seems to be that she's hit a wall now in the truck series.
Because this
and
is
literally
a different
speaking,
vehicle.
She's hit many walls.
Yeah, pretty much. But this is a different vehicle. It takes time. When you rode a bike, how many times did you fall off of it and scrape a knee before you figured out, hey, I got to keep this bitch upright or it's going to hurt? I mean, she's going from a car to a truck. The same could be said, you know what? And I'll use the same thing for Stuart Friesen, and I love Stewie to death. He's a friend of ours. But I wonder if the seat time between the truck and the dirt modified is hurting his truck performance. Same thing. She's racing in the K&N series. Then she's coming up and she's running in the truck series. Two different animals. So is one hurting her performance over the other? I say yes. But she doesn't have enough seat time. You don't learn to ride a bike overnight. Rome wasn't built in a day. You didn't become an awesome person in the booth.
Has she become an untrusting factor on the racetrack, and drivers will race her shittier than what they would have normally because of her bad luck? In other words, nobody's giving her the benefit of the doubt anymore, and it's basically, I need to get around her before she causes the next wreck and catches me up into it. Because we've heard her complain after several races this year that she felt like she kind of got wrecked.
Well, you know what? Maybe she did. Maybe she was the cause of her own wreck. Maybe she doesn't know how to run the trucks. Maybe she's not doing enough time in the simulator. Maybe they ought to go test her truck at a non-NASCAR sanctioned facility so she can get some seat time in it. And then maybe she will get better. She may not ever get better in the truck series. I don't know. I can't answer that. But what I can say, the only one that can definitively answer that, is Natalie herself. What does Natalie, that would be a hell of a question to pose to her on social media. What does Natalie need to do? What does Natalie need most out of her truck team? What does she need to learn to be successful in the Gander Outdoors Truck Series? I'd be interested to hear her answers. What's the matter?
I mean, what it sounds like is the same thing that Danica Patrick said. She wasn't getting the quality equipment that everybody else was getting, and maybe that's somewhere in this that DGR is not actually putting out performance trucks that are capable of winning. Maybe she is only getting what she's got, and there's not enough staff around there. In other words, if you took Natalie out and you put her in a KBM truck with the crew chief who just got Greg Biffle in a victory lane, maybe we would see a different result. I just don't think that that's probably the case, because even you have admitted that she probably just needs more seat time, and we may be rushing something with her. Now, it doesn't look like Haley Deegan is having any problem rolling through the ranks, but we haven't seen yet what she can do in a full-time truck ride either. Do you think that maybe Haley Deegan is maybe a step ahead already of Natalie?
She could be. Haley could be a quick learner, a fast study, whereas Natalie is not. Natalie needs more hands-on.
I think a lot of Natalie's criticism that she gets on social media has to do with her outspokenness on social media and, you know, the constant selfies and, you know, posing as somebody's, you know, deadlifting her up in the air and all this. And I think that, you know, that maybe that's kind of, in the end, people are treating her like a little rich girl instead of as a race car driver, and so that can change the way people race you as well out on the track, because if they don't respect you, Craig Moore, they're not going to race you the same way that they respect somebody with respect. As for Haley Deegan, she's turning heads in more ways than one, and to be honest with you, people have said that the K&N West Series is not a very dominant talent-based series. But Haley Deegan has proven that she can go out there and win and is very capable. I'd like to see what she can do in the K&N East. We've got to get her out of the West, and we've got to get her over here in the East and see how well she can do there before we can make that assumption that maybe she's ready. We've seen Brandon McReynolds and several other drivers go over to the West side, the K&N West, and have dominant series, have a dominant I don't want to say career because it's so short-lived, but a dominant presence in that series only to get to the K&N East and struggle. So, you know, definitely we've got our eye on Haley Deegan, and we want to see success from her. She's still, I believe, she's 17, I think, maybe about to be 18. So she's still got plenty of time to get it together. But definitely – It is great that we have a sport that's so diverse, and we're actually watching the younger talents, you know, that may be the future of NASCAR. I said a long time ago that Danica wasn't the driver that was ever going to be the all-star factor that we were looking for, but what it did do is it paved the way for the future of a female driver to have that quality seat time, to know how to drive a stock car, and to make a presence in the top series, and so one of these gals may be the one. You know, we don't know yet, and that may be yet to come, but you know, I'm more impressed this year on how much truck series stuff we've actually talked about, Craig Moore. We've done this show for years and we've never talked about the truck series so much. It's honestly, I've said before, it is the most exciting series in NASCAR.
It's the most underrated. Yeah,
I like that.
I'm in my yard. I got a trap for you. Yeah, I think it's the most underrated series we have because, oh, it's trucks. Oh, there's no big names in there. Oh, I don't want to watch it. It's going to be boring. I don't know. Maybe you've lived under a rock for the last 4 or 5 years. John Hunter Nemechek, Stuart Friesen, even Johnny Sauter, Austin Hill. These guys, I mean, notwithstanding Johnny Sauter's been in the Cup Series. Granted, he was eons ago, probably before Shannon was born. But you got these guys in the Truck Series, they're there to put on a show. They don't care if there's 10 people in the seats. They want a race. I'm sure their contracts, I can guarantee their contracts aren't Kyle Busch contracts, aren't Denny Hamlin, Mark Truex style contracts. They probably get 20,000 maybe and 3% of the purse, whatever they win. I'm just guessing. They're there to race. Now the big guys, they're there because, well, they might be there to race,
but they're there because they're making a very healthy living doing it. And I've said that about amateur ball, and I've said that years about racing. And you know this, Chris, because you cover dirt in your area. Those guys work. The dirt guys work a job during the week. They work on race cars at night, and they go race it on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
That's
because
right.
They love what they do. They love what they do. As a matter of fact, in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to schedule a young lady that we have here in our area, Cassie Bellin. I wasn't real enamored with her the first time I had seen her on the track because I thought she was a little, but she is a sweetheart. And I'm going to try to get her on here in a couple of weeks. I've mentioned it to her before, and she was like, absolutely, whenever you want me on. So I'm going to reach out to her after our break next week and see if we can't get her on here in a couple of weeks. And she can tell you what it's like.
Well, I got a little Xfinity. That sounds fun, yeah. I got a little Xfinity news here. Of course, Jeffrey Earnhardt is racing this weekend in a XCI racing. That would be Extreme Concepts racing machine. He's going to be in the 81 in the Xfinity Series. This team is not, they are a very new team. They're a rookie team. They do not compete full-time in any series. They actually made their cup debut at Talladega this past April. Jeffrey Earnhardt, kind of like Ross Chastain. He's one of those drivers that I don't think anybody, you know, when I picked him a few weeks ago to win, y'all were all like, yeah, that'll be the day. And then Jeffrey Earnhardt ran up front and got a solid finish, and I think we were all pretty excited because, unlike y'all, you know, I wasn't a doubter. I believe that Jeffrey Earnhardt has talent. I believe these cars are coming straight from the Joe Gibbs shop, and if I'm not mistaken, this is a car that he has already driven this year, just with a different number on it. He's racing the 81, but it's coming from the Joe Gibbs stable. He's only 15 points out of the 20th place spot. Could you see some pit strategy or anything that would maybe help Jeffrey Earnhardt? If he were to win this weekend, he would have to still try to be in that top 20 spot to make the playoffs. But could we see something happening like that we have with Ross Chastain in the Truck Series? Maybe, a non-full-time driver such as Jeffrey Earnhardt picks up a win this weekend at Chicagoland, and that kind of opens the door for a full-time season for him?
Well, absolutely. And getting back to Ross Chastain, right now he's sitting 26th. Right now he's sitting 26th in the points, Ross Chastain. So he's got to win and he's got to have solid finishes to get into the top 20. Whereas
Jeffrey Earnhardt's 22nd.
Right, so he needs a win and a couple
15
of stage points
out from the top 20 position.
He gets a couple of stage points, and we're golden. You know, so we'll have to see how that works out for Jeffrey. But I definitely like to see Jeffrey in there. And going back to Friesen, I said that he was on the bubble. If the playoffs were to start now. If the playoffs were to start now, he would start third. He's 54 points behind, and this is I'm getting this on NASCAR.com. But still, he's got to. I mean, he could have, and I don't want him to, but he can have a string of five bad races, and by bad I mean DNFs, and it would knock him out. I mean, he's already had two DNFs. This year, but he's also led 146 laps. He's got two stage wins. I mean, he knows how to win the stages. Now he just needs to get that green and white checkered flag. I mean, Grant Enfinger himself only has three stage wins. Johnny Sauter's got three. Sheldon Creed got one.
Austin Hill's got none. Burton's got none. Moffitt's got one. Ben Rhodes has got two. And Matt Crafton's got three. Or, I'm sorry, two. So, it's not that anybody is dominating the stage wins, unlike in the Cup Series. But, you know, it's these guys' time to shine in the Truck Series. There's no more Cup regulars coming down to run the trucks. It's all them. You know, they don't have to worry about Kyle Busch coming up and shitting all over their show. I know that upsets CJ, but they, you know, Stewie's got to figure out how to put a good string of races together over the next 6 weeks. I think that he knows how to do it. He knows what he has to do. Now it's the execution part of it. The same way with Jeffrey. I think that if he gets a win or he gets a solid finish this week, that will give him the confidence to go forward. And sometimes, I just posted this on Instagram a little while ago. You could make excuses or you can make choices, but you can't do both. They have to figure out what their problems are, stop making excuses for them, and figure out how to get the job done.
Need a waiver to get into the playoff system if he were to win, Craig. But as I'm looking at the points, you know, there's a guy sitting in 24th, Matt Mills, and I know we don't know who he is, but that's fine. Vinny Miller's right there behind him. Joey Gase as well. Those guys have started 14 races, and Jeffrey Earnhardt is ahead of them with only 6 starts. Sitting 22nd in points. I mean, you know, there's Zane Smith, who's in 23rd. He's got 5 starts, so I guess that's pretty impressive as well. But 6 starts, you're eight races behind some of these guys who have 14 races, and you're above them in points. Just shows of the kind of season that Jeffrey's had in the Xfinity Series, and there's plenty of talent there, man. There's plenty of talent. He's an Earnhardt. He's had to earn his way. He's been in it. He's been doing this for 10 years now. I love it. If you'll doubt an Earnhardt, that's when they'll prevail. And we need as many haters as we can get out there prevailing Jeffrey Earnhardt to victory this weekend at Chicagoland, because, you know, they're going to run out of time, and it'll be too late to put together a full season. But kind of right here at the midway point of the season, I think that if Jeffrey were to get that win, and it would lock him into the playoffs, as long as he was granted a waiver from NASCAR, I think it would be pretty exciting to see how Joe Gibbs and Extreme Concepts, how they worked that out to get him into a full-time Xfinity ride. And how exciting would it be for, you know, him to be involved with the Tyler Reddick and the Christopher Bell showdown that I believe is going to happen here at the end of the season. As a matter of fact, it's kind of a three-way three-way series in the Xfinity Series, with only Mike Lynette being the only guy outside the top three. Tyler Reddick, Christopher Bell, and Cole Custer, they seem to be the front-runner guys right now. But Tyler Reddick, damn near 53 points ahead of Christopher Bell, 51 points ahead. You know, Tyler's had a magnificent year. We've said this before. I think Junior Motorsports is really going to regret letting that talent go to another team. Yeah, definitely. I mean, Tyler is tearing it up, man. And we all have this expectation of Christopher Bell to be the next, you know, Joey Logano, or the next, you know, Kyle Busch or something. I don't know what people really expect out of Christopher Bell. I think expectations have been set way too high. And, right now he's getting his butt whooped every week by Tyler Reddick.
Well, now
Christopher Bell has more wins.
Right. And Christopher Bell has led over 2 times the amount of laps that Tyler Reddick has. Hell, even Cole Custer. Tyler Reddick has led 318 laps. Cole Custer, 543 laps. Christopher Bell, sit down if you're not sitting down. 700, CJ Sports is probably sleeping, so we can let him sleep. 758 laps Christopher Bell has led this season. He's got 8 stage wins. Cole Custer's got 5, and Tyler Reddick's got 3. So, what has done Tyler Reddick so well is his top fives. He's got 11 of them, and the other two have 8 apiece. But it is a Tyler Reddick.
The battle of the top three.
Yeah, and we talked about the big three last year. CJ is listening, by the way. He just sent a message to us. He said 758 laps. Ha ha, I'm listening. I thought he was sleeping. it's a battle of the big three. We had that in the Cup Series last year. We have the battle of the big four in the Cup Series this year. And we have the three in the Xfinity. I'm interested to see how this weekend's going to play out. I'm interested to see the truck side and see what can be done there. And, can Stewie get his first win this weekend at Chicagoland after his big win here at the big show for Brett Hearn? We'll have to see. If he does, I can tell you that if he does, Esperance, New York will have the biggest party that you have ever seen. And that is a fact. I don't know if Stewie's coming back to race at Fonda on Saturday or not. I have not seen anything, but, look for that blue Helmar Friesen race team truck with the Orange County Fair Speedway logo on the front for their 100th anniversary. I'm going to say he's going to lead probably 20 laps.
It's $60 to get into that Orange County Fairgrounds Speedway race, $100,000. To win, I think the tickets for the full weekend are $150 for the adults, $120 for the kids. That covers all 3 days, or it's $45 for kids on race night, Saturday night, and $60 for adults. So it looks like the deal there is to get the 3-day pass, and it's a lot of people say that's kind of hefty on the poor man for a race, but I mean, it's $100,000 to win, and you got to make the money somewhere. It's got to come from somewhere. So, kudos to Orange County Fairgrounds Speedway for putting on such a hellacious race. I just hope that it works out in the benefit of the Speedway, just to where they it doesn't put them into a financial bind there. That's a lot of money being paid out to the winner. And, of course, if you have $100,000 going to the winner, Craig Moore, then you got to pay second place a pretty hefty bit too. So, it's not like you pay the winner $100,000 and then drop down to $2,000 to win for second. $2,000 for second place. $100,000 to win, second place pays $2,000. How about that? I don't think that would sit too well with too many people.
No,
for this weekend. Vegas odds are out. Looks like Kyle Busch is a 3-1 favorite. Kevin Harvick, a 9-2 favorite. Martin Truex Jr., 6-1. Brad Keselowski, an 8-1. Joey Logano, an 8-1. And Chase Elliott, 10-1. Other notables, Kyle Larson is a 10-1. And Denny Hamlin's an 18-1. Clint Bowyer, an 18-1. Ryan Blaney, he starts it off at a 20-1. So if you want to if you're looking for a sleeper pick this weekend, I think your best bet would be maybe Daniel Suarez, who is a 40-1 odd, or possibly a William Byron. Actually, William Byron seems to be the sleeper pick here. He's an 80-1. Jimmy Johnson is a 30-1, along with Eric Amarola, Eric Jones, and quite a few others there. So if you are really, really, really looking for a sleeper pick, it looks like William Byron in the 80-1 mark. That would be the one to go with.
I really think that Byron is going to get a win before we get to the cutoff race.
Yeah.
I really do. I think that him and Knaus have now gelled. And
and that it's going to pay dividends. I think they needed to learn each other for a while. And now once they have learned each other, I think that it's going to be deadly. I mean, can't you just see Canales getting that win with William Byron coming up, and they do the interview, and he's like, now they call me Big Papa, you know? I mean, it's like Notorious B.I.G. in the background, you know? I mean, because I feel like that's Chad's only commitment right now, is to make sure William Byron gets into victory lane. Jimmy Johnson, Chad knows that the only way that he can separate himself from the Jimmy Johnson legacy is to win again. I promise you, there's doubts within Hendrick organization that Jimmy will win again. Odds are betting against him. But as for Chad Canales, if he can get the monkey off his back, then we could see a whole new, you know, a whole new personality, a whole new a revamped career there for Chad Canales. You go a couple of years though, and Chad's going to kind of lose the commitment side to it. I believe he's going to lose the excitement, the recharge. And, you know, we'll see him fade away off into nowhere. But if he can get a win with William Byron, and this will be a great weekend to see it happen. I called it a sleeper pick, Craig Moore, but you've kind of turned me into making William Byron my weekend pick, man. I mean, I'm always going out on a limb. I mean, most of the time I do pick a blue oval, but I don't know, man. I seem to be pretty good at picking this stuff every now and then. So, you know, I guess if I wasn't going to go, I was going to go with Kyle Larson. But you know what? If you're not going to take William Byron, I'm going to keep him as my pick for this. You were going to pick William Byron.
I'll pick Kyle Larson, man. I think that I said this a couple minutes ago. I think that Byron's time is now. Just like the John Cena theme song from the WWE, my time is now.
Yeah.
He's got to shine. He has got a seven-time championship-winning crew chief. It's time for him to shit or get off the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he's finally ready to go on the big boy toilet. And I think that he's going to prove that what everybody thought about him is going to come true. And I think that you're going to see it. And it won't be a shocker. Now, a lot of people will say, well, that was because of Canales. Well, you know what? Part of it is because of Canales, but a bigger part of it is their communication will have gotten better. You and I, this is a good analogy. Thank you. You and I, when we first started this 2.5-3 years ago, we were like a combined family, and we didn't know each other. We didn't know what buttons we could push. We didn't know how far we could take our one-liners. I was a little more standoffish because I was a new kid on the block. I was coming in to play on somebody else's playground. And after a while, and we had conversations, we had planning meetings before our show each week. I really believe that those planning meetings that we had early on have led us to not have to have them so often. We can go 2-3 weeks without having a strategy session 2 hours before airtime. We don't have to tell each other talking points. I remember when we first started doing this, we would send each other our talking points so that we knew what each one of us was going to talk about. We don't do that anymore. I might say, I think I'm going to talk about this. And if I don't, it's not because I wanted to throw you off. It's because something else hit me that I was more passionate about talking about. Same thing with you. And I think that's what you're finding with William Byron and Chad Canales, is that they've spent more time together. So they're getting to know one another. They're getting to learn each other's lingo.
And I think that's important to building a strong foundation. We've got about 5 minutes left before they kick us off the air here. So what you're going with, you're going to take who?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kyle Larson. But real quick with William Byron, doesn't he look like the kid that won the spelling bee? I mean, you just don't really you wonder how much communication he's been able to give Chad Knauss. And being that he went so quickly through the developmental series, the truck series and the Xfinity series, you know, it's got to be some kind of advantage there that William Byron is paired with a crew chief like Chad Knauss, because Chad can either let William develop his own lingo and try to understand it, or Chad can basically walk through certain situations and ask how he would figure out how he responds to each question. So I would really like to listen to a lot of the communication between me. Obviously, William Byron doesn't win the Radio Sweetheart very often, if he's ever even been on there. So I would like to I would be intrigued to listen to the radio communication between Chad Knauss and William Byron, and actually compare it to maybe what it was last year with the crew chief that he had there. So, you know, this is still an experimental situation with William Byron, but, hey, if that's what you're picking this weekend, I like your pick. And, of course, Kyle Larson left something on the table last year at this race. He is a high-side hustler, and so I expect Kyle Larson to be in victory lane at the end of this weekend. On the Xfinity Series side, I think I've already made my pick for that as well. I'm going to stick with Jeffrey Earnhardt as the winner, Craig, who do you favor for the Xfinity race?
Well, let's see. I'm going to take Tyler Reddick.
Great pick. So, and I guess that leaves us with the Gander Mountain Truck Series. I've tried to not pick Stewie because I thought that maybe that was holding him back from winning. Obviously, it doesn't matter. Either way, I've got my money on Stewart Friesen.
Oh, you already took Stewie? That's okay, because
yeah,
I'm taking
Stewart Friesen. You're going to go with Johnny Sauter. Wow.
That bastard
wow.
has some shit to prove, let me tell you.
Hey, nearby one up there in Wisconsin in the late model race that he was in, he actually drove from the rear and I think finished second in the race. So God bless America, Johnny Sauter.
Let me put it to you this way before we get off the air. We may not get CJ's picks. But the same thing I said about Ross Chastain. He got his win taken away from him. It made him mad. He paid attention to Race Chat Live. He probably didn't. But he paid attention
to my tweet about burning it down, at least.
Yeah. So he was able to come back and win. He was aggravated. He was mad. Johnny Sauter, he's going to win. He's going to watch what he does around Austin Hill and somebody else, anybody else, but he's going to get it done this week. Mark my words. You can call me. I will be home tomorrow night watching the race. As soon as he takes that green, white checkered flag, I am calling Tsuba, Mississippi, and saying, I told you so.
It'll be an exciting time for all of us here at the network, that's for sure. But hey, you know what? It's been a great show. We want to thank you guys for listening to the Race Chat Live. We're off next Thursday. It's 4th of July weekend, so we're going to take the next Thursday off. And that's kind of sad, too, because we just had a couple of off days.
No. Why don't we do it Monday?
Month. Well, we can check that if that works out for the schedule. Maybe we can do a show Monday as we do the post-view of Chicagoland, the preview to Daytona. Always a special race. Of course, we've got a sprint car race scheduled, the USCS sprint cars, for the 4th of July weekend. I think on July 6th is the actual race that we're having at Why Not. So, come on out to that and support your local racetracks. Of course, Hattiesburg Speedway is racing this weekend. You can go down there on Friday night and enjoy some great short track racing. Just go out and support local tracks. They really need you right now, guys. There's, racing is racing is only surviving right now, and that's all I'm going to say. But thank you guys for listening, and Craig, you got anything to remark there before we close out?
Yeah, same thing reiterates, support your local dirt tracks. Next Saturday night at Glen Ridge Motorsports Park is Vengeance, is a Vengeance 100. Morchie Music is actually sponsoring. Thank God Ms. Dana's not home. She doesn't know this yet. She'll know tomorrow. Morchie Music is sponsoring two laps in the 50-lap feature, laps 40, 42 and 44 with the 42-lap. Whoever's leading a 42-lap gets money, and whoever is leading lap 47 gets my donation. And all of them is a qualifier to the Fonda 200 in September. So looking forward to that. It's the first time I've done something like that. I've sponsored championship nights but never laps. So I'm looking forward to that. I'll post information about that already. But, yeah, make sure you get out and support your local tracks because God knows we need them. That's what makes it easy to do. We love doing what we do, and we couldn't do it without them. So
that's right.
Just get out there and support your local dirt tracks, and make sure you support Race Chat Live on Twitter and on Facebook.
That's right.
And that's all I'm
all right, guys. Well, we'll talk to y'all maybe Monday. If not, then we'll take the week off and we'll talk to you the next week. But as for us over here at the 110 Nation Sports, we love you, and y'all have a great week. Stay out of trouble and do not drink and drive. Thank y'all. Have a great night.